I have like three key areas of frustration right now, and I need to talk them through with you. Like today, this episode of Quartz X is basically going to be like workplace therapy for me.
I was just about to say, it feels like you're setting me up to be like your therapist for this episode. Is that what you want to do, Mike?
Yes, I need that.
I'm here for you. Let's do that. So you're sitting on the couch. I've got my clipboard. How are you feeling?
I'm considering turning off notifications for email.
Oh my God. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. This is a pretty big deal for me.
Before we dive in, I feel like what I would like is, can you give me the brief version of how have we gotten here? Because I just feel like you've just dumped out onto a desk, I've got these email apps and like a bunch of problems and I'm getting all these messages. Yeah. I feel like, how have we arrived where we are right now for the sake of clarity?
Okay. So I've always been a notifications person. I like getting notifications. And when I started my first business, Relay FM, I was responsible for sales. And especially when you're starting out a business like that and you're trying to build a client base, being as responsive as possible is very helpful.
For sure.
So see, having email notifications would mean that I was going to get back to people in a timely manner and I would be able to handle it that way. This was many years that I did this job, and over this time I built habits, especially around triage. Like I was able to use my notifications as triage. So, you know, I'd get a bunch of email, I could look at the notifications, I could archive them from the notifications. They'd never even be in my inbox when I opened my email app. I would also know when the important stuff came in, and I could jump to it quickly. And then over time, things changed. So one of them was I turned notifications for email off on my Apple Watch. So it was just on my iPhone. And then also my role at Relay changed. And now I don't do sales anymore, really. I have a couple of clients, but I deal with them once every 3 to 12 months, the clients that I still handle. So there really isn't anything pressing with that anymore. And I'm getting less and less of this email coming. I'm still CC'd in more stuff than I would like, which feels like something that no matter how much we try, we can't seem to get rid of. But that's fine, right? Because I don't need to see those emails so often. And this is making me realize the notifications for email that I'm getting, they have the ability to change what I'm thinking about.
Right.
At any moment where I could be doing something or enjoying a moment of some description, you know, like we're watching TV, I'm hanging out, I'm playing games, and then I get an email which frustrates me. But I don't need that at that point. I can come to it later on. This is more like how I managed email in my old job, which I probably feel like is not the way people do email anymore. I feel like one of the things that would have changed over the last 10 years is that people are actually just receiving this email to their phone because they have a work phone or they're signed into an email app for work on their personal phone. And so people probably are getting more notifications like I am, which is like a very upsetting thought, where I would just only see my email when I logged into my computer when I was at my desk at the office.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring this up now because I've had a bunch of email thoughts and I'm going to be making some changes as well. But like, I think what you're describing here is your role has changed over 10 years and also the nature of email has changed over 10 years. Mm-hmm. So I've been taking notes over here and the very first thing that I wanted to know is like, where are you most productive at dealing with email? Because you are still living the sales Mike life in regards to email when your actual life is executive Mike and also product designer Mike. And the sales email life is just no good and completely incompatible with functioning well in those other two roles.
In any of my creative roles.
Yeah. I feel like what you're dealing with is a little bit of like what my frustrations are always with my own work is like creative work is just different. And I, as someone who works with you on Cortex Brad, am extremely alarmed to imagine the scenario where you're sitting down and you're working on a design for a future product and you're in like a good mental space while you're working on that. And then some random thing from the outside world comes in and messes with that. Mm-hmm. Like that's very costly to the company in a real way. Mm-hmm. And so Question one is like, where are you most productive on email? Like, where are you best equipped to handle email? And I just cannot imagine that this is your phone at all. Like, this can't possibly be the current place.
Oh, I don't know, though. All right, so here's the thing. Mm-hmm. There's still going to be a lot of triage. In fact, there'll be more triage than ever now. Like, if I'm turning off notifications, every time I open my inbox is going to be more full than it's been in 20 years.
Right, yeah.
Because I wouldn't have been, like, getting rid of stuff like that. And so I do feel like my iPhone is still going to be a really good email machine for me for dealing with 50% of the job, which is either removing or assigning email to other people. But if I'm going to sit down and like actually deal with something, it's probably going to be at my Mac. But I do still feel like both of those tools are important for the things that they are best at. And like for me, swiping, done, because remember, we don't archive in Spark. We done an email. Right. So if I swipe done, like I want to still be able to do that. That's still like an important tool for me as well. Like just because of still the nature of my work, I want to be able to fire quick things off every now and again. And so my iPhone is still really good at that. But I think I just don't want it to be grabbing me anymore.
I think you should ask yourself the question of what is the real material value of like sending off something real quick from that device? Or what is the real material value of having done triage before you're sitting down to deal with your email?
Are you suggesting I do not have an email app on my iPhone?
I want to have a discussion about the idea and what it is that you're trying to achieve. Because what I'm trying to get around to here is like your role is just real different. And like we've had many, many discussions about the wheel of email, which is like I'm actually thinking of as like a rack, right? Upon which people are tortured, right? Like that is how I feel about email.
Well, whenever I have just imagined the wheel of email, I've always imagined like the wheel that someone gets on when knives are thrown.
Yeah. Okay,
that's how it's always been to me. Like you're just on and the emails are being thrown at you. And sometimes they're getting you and sometimes they're not.
Okay, but so what I'm trying to get at is like, we've had many conversations over the years about this. And it is a thing that like, I have observed you work with email for years. And I have always come around, like when you tell me how you have been dealing with this in the past, that's like, oh no, you have a good system for what you need to do. Mm-hmm. It's not what I would ever do. But I think like, oh no, Mike's been right to do this. Like the way Mike triages things, like the quick response, all of that. Like, I think it has always been great. But I am convinced that you are feeling a frustration here because like you still want to use this thing, which like has served you well in a way that I just do not think is compatible with your actual roles now. Mm. And so when you want to do the thing of like, oh, I just want to quickly respond to a message, right? Mm-hmm. I have the same problem where it's like I can be the holdup for something. And if I were just to give a quick like thumbs up or thumbs down to something, like I unblock another person and let them move forward on a thing. And that is valuable. But it is quite easy to overvalue how much it really, really matters in the moment to unblock that person versus just them waiting a little longer compared to whatever it is that you're doing. Okay, these three topics, in a way, I feel like there's a meta thing which I want to just like discuss here, which is something like the opportunity cost of your time. These problems, just as you quickly outlined them to me, feel like they are all related to that idea.
Yeah.
I've always said to people, like, especially if you are like, you're trying to work on your own and you want to be a freelancer, but even if you are working a more traditional career path, like you're a salaried employee and there's a promotion ladder, a thing that you should keep in mind when you're working on your career is that over time, the value of your time per hour should go up.
Yeah.
That's like a measure of success in the sense of like, oh, you're achieving what you're setting out to achieve. You're more valuable in your career, and that is represented by like the dollars earned per hour. Or if you're salaried, the reverse is true of like what you're trying to do is be able to do the same amount of stuff, but in less time, right? Which is what I was always really focused on as a teacher. And so you, Mike, have been successful at like push that number up, like the hourly number up over the past many years. But what I see at people is that this does start to cause like a bunch of weird frustrations and problems that are all related to the idea of just like this opportunity cost of your time. Like as your time gets more valuable, it kind of causes frustrations and problems. And so I want you to keep that in your mind, because your actual goal is something like, what is the least number of minutes that could be spent on email in an effective way?
Yeah.
And every time you quickly send off a message or like you quickly archive something, there's some kind of like, I don't know what a good metric would be, but there's some kind of like sticky brain time that should be added to each of those things. Like no matter how fast you actually archived an email that you saw on your phone, like in the math of what your time is worth, you should add like an extra minute to that. Like every time you touch an email, yeah, even if it's just for 2 seconds on your phone, you actually have to add a minute. So that's what I'm trying to think of here is, sure, if you're archiving messages on your phone, as you have for years, when you sit down to, quote, like really do email, there's less to deal with then. And so it feels like you've gained something, but I really think you've lost something. I think you've lost more than you are realizing, because you can just archive all of those messages as you're sitting down to like boom, 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 just go through things, and you can fire off your quick responses then. I think like dealing with anything in the moment for you has like slowly creeped up in cost over the years in a way that you just didn't realize as it was happening, and that has now caused a bunch of frustrations for you. That's kind of what I feel like might be one of the underlying things that's happening here.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that's an encouraging or a discouraging sound.
No, I mean, look, I agree with what you're saying, right? Mm-hmm. Every time I look at my email inbox, I'm going back into the same thing where it's like, all right, why don't I want notifications anymore? Because I want to stop certain things from being able to control my attention at any mm-hmm. moment's notice. And a different level of that is I open my inbox and who knows what's in there, and that might like throw me off.
Yes.
But I do feel like those are distinct.
Yeah, they are distinct for sure.
I would love to feel confident that I could delete the email app from my iPhone. I'm not confident right now that that is the most responsible thing to do.
What are your concerns around that?
Because I don't know what that life is. One of the things that concerns me about turning off notifications is that I end up checking my inbox more, right? So this is like one thing that I'm concerned about, that if I'm not pulled in to check email, that maybe I open my email app more because I don't know what's in there. It's like Pandora's email, you know? And so if that was to happen, my concern would be, if we continue that line of thinking, I grab my Mac at home more than I did before. And that is a whole new world of like throwing me off kilter. So if I've grabbed my Mac, then that's never going to be a quick thing. There's always big stuff happening there. You know what I mean? It's like, that's what I'm worried about, that two-step thing. I love the idea of just like no email on my iPhone. Like what an incredible thought that is. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm ready to make that step yet. Like in the same way that I've had notifications on forever and that worked for me, even though I don't recommend it for others, I'm not sure that I could take those two steps at once. And I don't know if I feel comfortable with it.
I think one of the other things that's been on the back of my mind is, I don't quite know how to articulate this, but like I'm sure you must have the same thing that I do, like 100 times worse, which is the variance of my email has gone way up, in the sense of like, oh, over the years, the sheer number of messages has just done nothing but increase. Mm-hmm. But also the difference in value between the most valuable email that arrives mm-hmm. any mm-hmm. particular day and the least valuable email that arrives at any particular day mm-hmm. is like a million times more.
Yeah.
I was thinking about something the other day. It kind of makes me think it's like the same phenomenon that's happened with physical mail. Just I think because of the way people use it differently, it's like, oh, the average physical mail message is like basically net negative in value to me. But then randomly, there are like wildly important physical mail messages that come in. And email is kind of in the same way. Like the variance has just gone way, way up. Mm-hmm. So I understand, like, there is a real feeling, and I have it too, of like, boy, if I miss something important, like, it's way bad. But I just feel like I want to try to argue that that is more of a reason why you should kind of have your head in the game of, like, what you're doing now is answering emails. And if you are not ready to completely have your head in the game of like, I am answering emails now, then you shouldn't be dealing with it at all, because you have lots of other extremely high value tasks that you could be working on. And so I just feel like the checking activity or like the archiving activity is no good. And it's just you doing to yourself what you're trying to have happen automatically with like notifications of, you're just doing to yourself like, oh, I want to just like check on a thing.
But I'm worried that if I, let's say I delete my email from my iPhone, mm-hmm. and I only do my email, say, at my Mac, mm-hmm. that is more time at my Mac than it would have been otherwise, like dealing with the email.
It will be.
And I don't know how much more time I have in my workday, which is the thing we're going to get to later on. And so for right now, like I can deal with a bunch of email on the train, right? And like I'm commuting in, I can get rid of a bunch of stuff. Like I can just like noodle around in my email app and get rid of things. Uh-huh. And then that saves me time then when I get to the office and I can sit down and do what other stuff I need to do. If I'm only doing that work on my Mac, then I'm going to be increasing the amount of work that I need to do on my Mac. And I don't know if I have that time, but maybe it's not that much time.
Okay. Yeah. So I think you bring up an interesting scenario here, which is the I am commuting on a train scenario.
Yeah.
Right. Which is like, oh, it's a very particular use case. You don't want to be bringing your laptop.
It's not a long enough commute for a laptop.
Yeah, it's like you've got your phone with you, whatever. So I'm going to posit that there is a hidden cost here that you are not considering, which is still your mental state at the start of the day on your way into work, which is highly valuable. I think that really matters.
Yeah, but if I get to the office and then I'm starting with the email, it's the same thing. I'm just like delaying it by 20 minutes. Because I'm always going to start with the email, I feel like. It's still going to dictate certain things that are going to happen in my day or my week. Like, it will be one of the first tasks that I would do each day.
Should it be?
I don't know yet. Well, here's the thing. We're going, at the moment, many levels down the hypothetical, right? Like, for me, I came onto the show be like, should I just turn off my notifications? And now it's like, delete your email app.
No, listen. But Mike, it's like, I want to drill down right to the bottom of this, right? Yeah. I want to get like, what's the real problem? Like, what's going on?
No, I do feel like it would need to be one of the first things I do each day, because I do genuinely believe that I still, because I work with the amount of people that I do and they need things from me, that mm-hmm. I am making their lives harder if there's something that they need that I haven't gotten them yet.
Mm-hmm.
What I don't want is to like increase the amount of messages I'm getting from people saying like, did you get that thing? Where's that thing? Can you check that thing? Because I've not been looking at my email. And so in this scenario, yeah, let's imagine I take it off my iPhone. I still think checking email is one of the first things I would do each workday.
Yeah.
I actually think for me, that is fine. That thought doesn't bother me at all because I'm in work mode. Like things are going to be happening. I've got the next task. Like even if something annoys me, I'm still going to get to the next task. Like I'm in work mode now. Like there's things going on. I have my day planned. Like it's going to happen with or without. And to me, checking the email would still be like, yep, that's like boot up task. That is setting me up for the work day. I'm getting into work mode.
I feel like the more you talk, just the less I'm convinced.
But you've got to remember, though, that like, go back to the idea of like, why did you agree that I should have had notifications on? We still work differently. We still do have different responsibilities.
Yeah, you need email like a million times more than I do. 100%. Mm-hmm. Like, we still have things that are very different. I just genuinely think that you are sort of struggling with your role has become more like mine over the years, and that's part of what's happening here.
No!
Exactly. Like, I think that's what it is. Now, there's no version of this in which I'm like, hey, Mike, you should have a morning like mine. No, I don't think so. But what I am thinking is just, here is my fundamental problem with email as the first thing. It is deciding that your day is other directed. It is directed externally right from the start. And I just think that your role is different enough now that that is not a good idea. Now, in my head, what I'm kind of thinking of is I would love for email to be like the second thing that you do in the day. I'm not remotely saying like, oh, you shouldn't check email until it's 4 p.m. Sure. And just like wrap up some stuff. No. But I think there is an absolute world of difference that you are not appreciating between doing email as the first thing and email as the second thing. I don't think that's a small difference. I think that's the biggest difference that there can be.
Can you give me an example of first things?
My thought for first tasks for you, here's like my dream scenario of like a thing that could be appreciated is like you are on the train. And you're not looking at your phone and you're like heading into work. And what naturally happens is like you just sort of start thinking about like, oh, what are things I need to do or whatever. And on the train, you can have an idea about something with like a design for one of the Cortex brand products. Like a thing just pops into your head. This is like the space for boredom, like just a little bit of thinking space that I think is really good and like incredibly undervalued at the start of a day. And so you would get into your office and maybe just like toy around with something that you thought on the train for like an hour. And then as like the moment, as often happens, you feel like, okay, I'm kind of like done with this. Then you go to email, right? That's like my dream scenario for you.
That's my dream, man. Let me tell you right now. Like, yes, I agree. Like, I love all the thought of like, oh, it's Monday morning. Mm-hmm. And the first thing I'm doing is the most important thing I do on a Monday, getting upgrade ready.
Right. So the reason it's my dream scenario is it's the scenario that benefits me the most,
yeah,
right?
You.
But down from my dream scenario, scenario two is exactly that. I again think there is a world of difference in you're on the train. It's Monday morning. It's like upgrade game time. And you are thinking a little bit about the upcoming show, like on the way into work. And then the first thing that you do when you get there is you start arranging all of the stuff that you want to do for upgrade. You start like processing, you know, like all of the articles, putting together show notes, like doing all of your preparations. And then when you are done with that, then you go to email and you work on your email then. I think you are not appreciating how huge of a deal this really is. You're like sacrificing true value on an altar of pseudo productivity. That is what's occurring when you're triaging your email on your phone on the way into work.
Let's put that one on a t-shirt. You know what I mean? Woo! Look, it's also my dream.
Very achievable dream.
No, but dreams are scary sometimes, uh-huh. Right? And like, I never want to let anyone down.
I completely understand that, yeah.
I feel like you know that about me. Like, it's something that I really try and take value in making sure that the people that I work with have what they need. Mm-hmm. I never want to be an imposition to someone, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be the reason that they're waiting on something or whatever. But I also have the time zone advantage.
I was going to say, Mike, like, please, we live in the greatest city on earth, in the greatest time zone on earth.
Yeah, we do, baby.
It is advantage, right? But it really is. I am so glad for this all the time because it makes this much easier. Everyone I work with is in like earlier time zones than me. So like I am up first and that makes such a huge difference. And that's what you have as well. Now, you're a much more international audience than I am, right? For the people that you work with. Mm-hmm. But still, the bulk of it is the same thing. Like most people you're working with are in America. So let's just imagine we're blocking off like the first 2 hours of the day, by which I mean like the moment you leave your front door, that's when the timer starts. So we're including your commute in like first 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
that 2 hour time difference, I think there is basically nothing that can happen within that 2 hour delay where that time matters.
Yeah.
That is more valuable than you actually doing the thing that matters most to whatever is the most important thing you're going to do in the day. That's why I was trying to talk about like the opportunity cost of your time here.
Yeah.
You have to really think about how much your time is worth. And so this is why it's like, what can possibly happen in that first 2 hour window mm-hmm. that where it matters? And how much is that going to cost versus, I mean, like, as happens to you sometimes, like you're just walking along and you think of the Sidekick notepad and it's like, that is the next 2 years of our business and hugely important. Like this super matters. And like nothing that can happen in email during that time can possibly outweigh that now. That didn't used to be true for you.
Yeah.
It used to be true that like getting into that email and replying and archiving like was the most important thing. It really mattered. But you are not that guy anymore. And like waiting 2 hours is not a problem.
Yeah, like I was saying in the help me help you scenario, we for Cortex Brand do work with people in the UK and Europe. But
yeah,
the majority of stuff that we're doing when it comes to manufacture, an extra 2 hours usually isn't a difference because nothing ever happens on the same day.
Everything that we're doing at Cortex Brand is on the scale of months, right? Like 2 hours never matters.
This episode of Cortex is brought to you by our friends at Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, you can stand out with a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything. Your products, services, and even the content that you create, Squarespace has got everything you need, all in one place, all on your terms. Squarespace's Blueprint AI and SEO tools make it so easy to get started. You can start a completely personalized website with their new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint. Choose from professionally curated layout and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, tailored to your brand or business and optimized for every device. And then easily launch your website and get discovered fast with integrated, optimized SEO tools so you show up more often to more people and grow the way you want. You can also integrate flexible payments to make checkout seamless for your customers with simple but powerful payment tools. You can accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and ClearPay. With Squarespace, you're able to make the most of AI. You can kickstart or update written content on any website, product description, or email with Squarespace AI, generating instant personalized results that know and show your brand identity. You can explain what your site's about, choose your tone, and enter what you need to get short or long form text. No matter the placement, Squarespace AI makes it easier than ever to go live, stand out, and succeed online. I have been using Squarespace for about 15 years for various projects. It's an easy place for me when I want to start something, when I want to get a website up and running, I just go to Squarespace and get it set up. But it's also a fantastic place for me to recommend to people, people like you. If you have a website you want to build, or if you know someone who has a website they want to build, it's going to be so easy, so incredible, and always up to date when you use Squarespace. Go to squarespace.com and sign up for a free trial today. You can build your entire site, and when you're ready to launch it, go to squarespace.com/cortex to save 10% off your purchase of a website or domain. That is squarespace.com/cortex, and when you decide to sign up to get that 10% off your first purchase and show your support for the show. Our thanks to Squarespace for their support of this show and all of Relay FM. Let me actually now, we're going to come back to email.
Okay.
But because you mentioned the time zone thing, I want to jump to notifications.
Well, I mean, it does feel like this is all one big ball, but yes, let's go to notifications.
These two are quite linked in this way because the time zone benefit in the morning is great. It's also biting me in the evening because everybody else's days are shifted that I'm working with in America, which means that they're still very much in their work day when I'm very much not. And this is like a second thing where I am starting to become more frustrated with things that are required of me in the evening or just work things that are coming my way via notifications in the evening, which most of the time, I will say, could wait, right? And that's what I want to try and work on. Like, how do I tune my notifications better to see less of this stuff. Like, I'm becoming much more particular about my work-life balance, all thanks to the year of the weekend where I actually started to value my work-life balance.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, like, I believe that it is better for me to have less stuff intruding, but I feel like I don't have a sense of what the exact things that I should do should be. The one that I can think of is to set a do not disturb in Slack. I think the way it works in Slack is it doesn't send notifications at all.
I don't use that, but that's my understanding. If you set do not disturb in Slack, the app is sending no notifications. I don't know what happens when you come out. I presume it just sends you everything that was waiting, but
I don't think it does do that, actually. I think it's just like when the do not disturb is off, you'll start getting notifications again. But when you open the app, everything that was sent to you while you're in do not disturb is just waiting for you there. And what I do like about Slack in this regard is, well, one, it's doing that, so it's not sending anything, but also someone can break through, which is helpful for me. That would make me feel better knowing that, like, if there's something I need to know, whoever it is can see I have Do Not Disturb on and they can be like, notify me.
Mm-hmm.
I like that feature. So I think I'm going to do that. I need to choose what the time is, which is a weird one for me.
Why is that a weird one? Like that?
Well, about 2 or 3 at least days a week, I'm still working at 8 p.m.
Yeah.
Where naturally it'd be like, oh, like 5, 6 o'clock is what most people would set. Like maybe it's 7 or 8 for me.
Yeah.
And like you would say, like, oh, focus modes will handle this for you. And like maybe, but what I don't like about focus modes is a thing that we spoke about before, which is you can still see the notifications.
So you're running into the same frustration that I have.
Because I have a weekend one that I read, like I like the weekend focus mode that I have. But then sometimes I see that I still have the email. I still see the email. It's like, oh, I don't want to know it's there.
There's like a weird, perverse satisfaction I have here of like, most people just don't understand what the problem is. But now I feel like I've almost infected a friend with like, now you understand what the problem is. It's like, I just don't want to even know that it's there. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Like, just tell me later on. Like, I don't want that. Like, so in case people don't know, in a focus mode, if you exclude apps from it, they don't show up on the lock screen. But when you go into notifications center, it like collects them all up. But the problem is, not only does it collect them up, it gives you a little bit of a preview too. It's like, no, this is not what I want. Why are you doing this?
Yeah, so this is something that it's sort of a fundamentally unsolvable problem with like the way you want notifications to be handled. Because really, like what's happening with notifications is you really want to tell your phone, like, read my mind and just know when I want to know something and know when I don't want to know something. So as someone who has spent many years and many, many hours trying to tweak this to be perfection, like it just never can be. And one thing that I've been trying to do that I think is helpful is realizing that Notification Center is basically never the tool that I want for the job and trying to frame things a little bit differently. So one thing I've been trying to make more and more use of is, I forget exactly what it's called, but iOS has the feature that's called like scheduled delivery, where it holds up the messages and then delivers them all at once at a time of your choosing. So that's something that I'm trying to think about for more and more apps is like, can I just tell everything to arrive in one scheduled delivery at like 2 p.m. every day? And just like you collect up all the notifications and I will see them then. And that does keep them out of Notification Center. Like they don't go into Notification Center. Or the other alternative is basically I'm trying to turn off Notification Center for everything that I can think of now. The other option is like, look, Notification Center didn't used to exist. We used to just have badges on the apps. And like, actually, that's like the solution that I want most of the time. Because the nice thing about focus modes is focus modes can hide badges so that you don't see that like, oh, you've got 3 messages in email that's important to you. But in the correct focus mode, it's like, oh, no, badges are allowed. And now you can see that there's messages there. Mm. So there's 2 things to think about. But it's like, I think I've realized my frustration has come from a thing where it's like, oh, Apple created this tool called Notification Center, and I've always just used it because it's on by default without ever really thinking through, if I was designing the phone from scratch, would I want this as a feature? And the answer is no. Like, it's very hard for me to even imagine why I would want this here, really. It's like the thing that I'm trying to achieve, depending on an app, can usually be achieved through some combination of like, it's the badge, it's the scheduled delivery, or it is the like lock screen slash home screen notification with or without preview. Like tweaking those things is usually what I'm looking for.
So with scheduled delivery, talk me through what scheduled delivery looks like for you. Because this feature I always found kind of weird and strange. It's like, what are you having it do and what does it look like when it happens?
The scheduled delivery is this thing that will appear in Notification Center. You can think of it as a subset of Notification Center. So if you, in settings, tell an app that it is to use scheduled delivery, I think basically what's happening is that as far as the app is concerned, it's still sending you notifications, but iOS just completely hides the existence of those notifications in totality. Like they are not in the system at all. iOS is just holding on to those notifications and gives them to you all at once at the time of your choosing. And so what you get is a thing that'll be called like, oh, your afternoon summary or your morning summary, which is basically a notification center inside notification center of everything that has happened since the last scheduled delivery. That's how that works. So basically you're able to say like, app X can only reach me at a time of my choosing, and otherwise I am to never hear from it. And you can have multiple time slots for these scheduled deliveries. So you can say like, oh, four times a day, this app can get in touch, but otherwise I never want to hear from it. Mm. That's how scheduled delivery works.
But then when you get it, say you have like a bunch of notifications coming at once, is it clear? Because I remember seeing screenshots of it and it seemed like almost like they were trying to lay out a magazine or something. The layout I found really peculiar.
Yeah, it just looks like Notification Center. So I have my Slack on this of like just once a day, send me everything. Like Slack, just be quiet. And it appears in my scheduled delivery. And it just looks like, oh, here's all the messages that went to you from Slack in the previous 24 hours. That's what happens. Just like the regular notifications, you can click on any one of them and it will just take you straight to that conversation in Slack. And you can clear them individually, just like you would in Notification Center. I don't know if this is what you want, but I am flagging it as, I think this is an underappreciated tool that can be the right answer for certain things.
I'm intrigued by it, but I do think that just if we remove email notifications completely, one way or another, and I put the Slack Do Not Disturb, I think it would actually just solve the vast majority of the things that I would want.
Yeah, I mean, Slack Do Not Disturb sounds like for you the clear thing to do. Like that communication tool itself has an inbuilt tool to like try to address what you're dealing with here. Yeah.
And what I might do too is like I have a weekend focus mode. I may just extend that to my home focus mode or something like that. I'm going to look into that too. It's just for me, I'm not sure I need that much control over the other notifications that I get because I don't think... Again, I will pay attention to it, but I'm not sure that I have other work stuff, and that's what I'm trying to get rid of. Like, it doesn't bother me if the fitness app is telling me something, or it doesn't bother me if my to-do app is telling me something, because if I've set that, well, is the reason I set it for that time. You know what I mean? Like, for me.
Yeah. For me, the to-do app is the only app that I think is approved in every single focus mode, because that is like a very different kind of exception of like, I have told me that I want to be alerted to a thing at a certain time. Like for me, reminders and OmniFocus have like total access at all times in all focus modes to set up an alert.
Like if I look at the other stuff I've got, like if it's iMessage, well, that's still on that to come through, because again, like I put a bunch of iMessage threads on mute anyway, like the chatty ones, so I'm fine with that. So I actually think I do a decent job of, it really seems like the stuff that I want to get rid of is the work stuff, and I think I may have that handled. But yeah, I just wanted to talk to you because I think the Slack Do Not Disturb feature is kind of what I'm looking for, I think. Because I do think like, I don't want to put the onus on the people that I work with, right? Like if they're in their work day, they shouldn't not send me stuff.
Right.
But what I want everyone to understand, and I think they'll get that just from seeing the Do Not Disturb, is like I've chosen not to be working right now. So like I'll get back to you when I'm back in work mode. And I feel like that is the thing that everyone can respect.
Yeah. I mean, Mike, in my role as a therapist.
Yeah, which you're so good at, by the way.
What healthy relationships need are healthy boundaries. And without boundaries, it's no good. And so, yeah, you too, Mike, get to have a time where you say, like, I'm not working today. And yes, like, I understand the time zone thing of, like, people are messaging you later in the day. Like, I have the exact same thing of like, when I am feeling like it is bedtime is often, like, right in the productive swing of people in America.
Yep.
But that's fine because, again, it is the sure, I could theoretically unblock some stuff right now as someone is working, but it is just fundamentally not as important as having mental space, which is the no, I'm at home watching a movie with my wife mental space, and the time delay is fine. Like, everyone has this feeling like someone has messaged me and I need to get back to them right now. But also, other people have other things to do. Like, it's easy to overvalue how absolutely vital it is for you to get back to this person now. So, yeah, like, you should just have a clear cutoff in your mind for at what time in the evening is it no longer acceptable to get work notifications. And just set that. And people will quickly adapt and learn. Like, I mean, this is the thing, like, when you were going to school and I was sending you messages and getting no replies because you couldn't even get those messages. And I was appalled on day one. Very quickly, even I too adapted to, like, oh, Mike will get stuff back to me later. Or, like, I think even in me, over a very short period of time, it caused a slight behavior change of even sending you less stuff. So I think it's good for you to have clear boundaries of, like, oh no, after 8 or 9 p.m. or whatever it is, Mike is just not around. And as long as you're consistent about it, as long as it's a pattern that either people can pick up on or you can just be very explicit about, I don't think there's any problem there.
This episode of Cortex is brought to you by Tailscale. Tailscale is a programmable networking software that is private and secure by default, and it's the easiest way to connect devices and services to each other wherever they are. It's super secure, providing remote access to production, databases, servers, Kubernetes, and more, and it's fast, like really fast. Plus, it grants privacy for everyone and every organization. Tailscale is an intuitive, programmable way to manage a private network, including a zero-trust network access that every organization can use. With Tailscale, you can build simple networks across complex infrastructure, use their ACL policies to securely control access to devices and services with their next-gen network access controls, replace legacy VPN structure in just a few minutes, and save time with a trusted and proven networking solution that just works. Try out Tailscale for free for up to 100 devices and 3 users for free at tailscale.com. No credit card required. That is tailscale.com to try Tailscale for free for up to 100 devices and 3 users. No credit card required. That is tailscale.com. Now, thanks to Tailscale for their support of this show and Relay FM. All right, I would like to review my action items so far.
Okay.
These are the things that I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Slack do not disturb on the Relay Slack and the Cortex Slack.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'm going to do like 7 p.m. to start with, I think.
Ooh, bold.
Look into scheduled delivery. Although I don't think I need it, but I don't want to play around with it because I haven't played around with it. Because when it was first announced, like, I don't need that. But maybe now I do.
Yeah, just check it out just to be aware of it as a tool.
I'm going to put all of my email accounts into Spark. I'm going to turn off notifications for the Gmail app, but not delete the Gmail app because people want to log in sometimes and it's just like a whole thing.
Okay.
And I'm going to do it. I'm going to delete Spark from my iPhone.
Wow. Okay.
I'm going to try it.
Great. Great.
And I'm going to turn off email notifications on my iPad, but I'm going to leave Spark on my iPad.
Okay.
Because if I'm going to do some work at home, I'm only going to do that on my iPad. And this will allow me to do some stuff without getting my Mac. Because I feel like that there is another step there where I could, like, maybe, all right, I'm going to do some work, I'll grab my iPad, da 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 da, rather than go and grab my Mac, which will drag me in way more than my iPad will. But that right. one is a let's see, though. Because if I find I'm just checking my email a bunch when I'm at home on my iPad, then no, that's going to go too. That's where I am so far. Now, the thing about like when I check, like we both agree it should not be the first thing I do when I get to the office.
Correct.
I agree with you. Uh-huh. I just can't promise that, at least to start.
Okay.
But it is my goal. Like, maybe it'll be easy because, like, I just don't really want to do my email. So maybe it won't be that hard. I don't know. Maybe I'll be looking for things to do before I can get to email.
Okay, here's an action item, which is a little bit of a like a mental shift, but I'm trying to give you like little steps here, right? So both for your commute and like when you arrive at the office, you can start with a baby step of no email for 20 minutes. Like that's all it has to be, right?
Okay.
Like you just can't check your email for the first 20 minutes. You got to do something else. But I think more importantly, because like there's this thing that you're worried about, which is about like checking the email on the iPad at home a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
I think something that you should have in mind is if you're going to check email at home, you have to be able to answer yes to the question, do I have 20 minutes right now unbroken to deal with email?
That's good. Yeah.
Like if you can answer yes to that question, then there's no problem here. Like, do you have 20 minutes to work on this? If there's something in here that needs your attention, great, then you can check it. But if you don't, then you're just in that loop of like checking to check. What you're doing is you're checking to soothe yourself is really what you're doing.
Yeah, that's what I don't want for sure.
And checking to soothe yourself is real bad. Like everyone does it, but it's very bad.
Because my main concern about turning off notifications is like, does that mean I'm just checking my email more?
Mm-hmm.
Because like I'm not getting the notifications, so do I keep checking the inbox? Like,
yeah.
The only way for me to reduce this notification thing is I can't have email on my phone at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I'm going to turn off the notifications, I know myself, I will be opening my email inbox more than I did before.
Right, right, of course.
And so the only way to stop myself from doing that is I got to cut it off. I got to cut it off at the source. It's got to go.
Right.
It's basically impossible to not have email on my phone at all, but I'm just not going to have the app that I use. Right, like the mail app, it's like, it's doing its thing out there, the Apple Mail app. And my accounts are just signed in and it's just like, whatever. But I'm not going to look at it because I hate that app anyway. I feel like it is too complicated, more complicated than I want to be like turning off the ability for my phone to get email. But I think that's fine. Like I'm not worried about that for me.
There's various times in various ways I have tried to disable a bunch of stuff. And I have come to the conclusion that in most scenarios, zero ability to do thing on your phone is not the correct number because like you do have these events that just cause a massive pain in the butt if you can't.
Yeah, like I just thought of one. Two-factor codes by email.
Yeah, two-factor codes by email is one of those things.
So I need to have the mail app there so I can grab those. Because look,
yeah.
There are accounts that I have for things where they don't have passwords. Like, the only way to sign in is to sign in through a mail app. Like, I don't want that to be the case. I think, honestly, passwordless login, I hate it.
I hate it, too. Yeah, it's very
And everyone that's like, oh, it's so great. It's so secure. No, you're just passing the security to somebody else. Like, you're not doing your job, in my opinion.
Yeah. I'll give you a very strange two-factor thing that I read into. So, again, like, I don't do email on my phone. It's like, oh, I have access to a thing. I ran into the weirdest two-factor thing, which is I had to renew my driver's license while I was in North Carolina. And
your American driver's license.
Yeah. And while I was doing that, in order for a certain step of the procedure to proceed, I needed to give them a code that they sent to my email. And it was like such a strange verification process. Like, I'm here with my passport and like all of my documentation and my driver's license. And the lady's like, we've emailed you a 6-digit number at your email address. And like, you cannot proceed until you give me that number. Was wild.
When did it happen that email became like the most important and secure thing that everybody has in their lives? When people are getting their emails hacked all the time, like, well, when did these two things come together and we're happy with that, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy. But that's another case of like, there are enough edge cases where zero access is just more of a problem. Like if I hadn't been able to give that lady that code, it would have cost me weeks of setup and like getting an appointment at the DMV for like to be like, oh, well, I don't do that because I'm so busy. I actually don't have email on my phone, lady. It's like no one wants to hear that, right? Like then you're just a weirdo.
This might actually like increase my adoption of pass keys.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, that's a whole other thing, yes.
Like, I've ignored them so far because I'm kind of like, this is a new technology and I don't want to start just like giving up passwords for a problem that I can't yet foresee. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this is a way of just using like the Face ID on my iPhone as the two-factor rather than a code or whatever. So maybe there'll be some things that, like, if they have passkeys and they're otherwise going to send me an email, I'll be like, all right, I'm going to set up a passkey.
Yeah, yeah, maybe.
Even though I'm not convinced about how well that technology works yet.
Yeah, I too have put this in the bucket of like, I'm going to give this a couple years and then we'll see where we are. So the passkey stuff is different.
Yeah, it's like when two-factor was introduced, it was complicated, but now it's like super simple.
Yeah.
Like I have most of my two-factor like in my 1Password. So when I click on the thing to log in, 1Password just fills the two-factor code. Like it's like really easy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know 1Password could somehow do something with passkey. I'm just not bothering yet. I'm like going to give it a little bit more time. But I see the thought about it, right? Like if all of our devices have a biometric authentication method, that is 100% the best way to do it than getting a code out of an email account.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I'm not going to hold my breath on the DMV setting up a passkey system anytime soon.
Well, but the thing is, though, like, there is a genuine benefit to these organizations because then they don't have to worry about their servers getting hacked.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it's no longer their problem anymore. So I actually do imagine this to be more readily adopted by more organizations because it's an easy step for them to take and have to not worry about a bunch of audit stuff that they had to do.
Yeah, true. All of that is just to say, I agree with you that you need to have access, but you want to have access in such a way where it is very clear you are never going to attempt to use this tool. It is just there for these kind of edge cases of like, oh, I got an email that from a thing for something I'm doing right now, and I just need to be able to like click a confirmation link to get a thing. Like, that's just the way the world is, and totally deleting email is just impractical. In the same way that I tried many times and eventually gave up on, you can disable the Safari browser entirely on your phone, which in my ideal world, I would like to not have the browser on my phone. But it's the same thing of like, there's just too many things that require the browser. And it's like, I just have to give up this dream of my phone has no email and has no browser is what I actually want. But it's like, I don't know. That's like dreaming to live in a world where I don't need the phone at all. That's what I'm really dreaming of there.
You know, I've had someone suggested this to me ages ago, and it's been on my mind recently, and I don't like it. The work phone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what it was, but it was a conversation we were having on this show. And I think I was talking about all of these kinds of things, but like differently.
Mm.
And they were just like, well, this could be solved if you just had a work phone and a personal phone. And like the idea is so good. Just it's simple, right? Like it's simple in the sense of like, well, there just isn't Slack on my personal phone. There is something to be said for it. The problem is I don't want to carry two phones. I do not want two phones. Like I don't under any circumstances want a second phone that I ever have to take anywhere. Like that's the thing. So what I'm trying to do now is like get all of the benefits of what that would be, I suppose, by like deciding the devices that have access to things, the devices that don't, and then also implementing software tricks where I can.
I think the whole idea of like the work phone, personal phone thing, that made more sense the further back in time you go from the creation of the iPhone, as much as people ever made fun of it. Mm-hmm. But I really do think like with the introduction of focus modes, it's like you can get 80% of the way there through software.
Yeah.
And I just think now it is not worth doing the work phone, personal phone thing because it also introduces like a whole bunch of other problems. Like even just trying to manage two different accounts, like it just, I strongly advise against that. And yes, two phones is such a pain.
Look, I've got to assume based on what this show is, that there are people inside of Apple that work on the focus mode project that listen to this show. Like I've just got to naturally assume that that is a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the case and you work on the focus mode project, focus modes would be made so much better if I had the ability to turn off the preview of stuff that was waiting for me. If I was able to turn off that entire little category that says like while you are in weekend focused and you can tap it and see this list of stuff that's like being held, Like, I understand why that's there. I get it. I completely understand. It makes a lot of sense for these kinds of things. Like, if you've got a two-factor code in Gmail, right? Like, all that stuff, it's there in case you need it. I would like to turn that off.
Yep.
Give me a setting. Focus mode is full of settings, which are great. Like, the longer it has gone on, the more settings it has gotten, the more complicated it has gotten. But this is one of those things where I'm happy that somebody inside of Apple is like, you know what? We have to add complication to the system to make it worthwhile. And it has gotten better and better over the time. I would like this feature now, please, if you wouldn't mind adding it. I think it would make focus modes even better than they already are as a system.
I would also say, if those engineers are listening, one, thank you, because focus modes are much more than I feel like I could have ever reasonably expected yeah. Apple to implement. Like, they really are so game-changing.
It's a great system.
It is. But I'm with Mike. Like, my number one request would be that thing of, like, I just, to me, the whole point of the focus mode is I don't want to know. And so it is frustrating to have this little thing here, which is like, oh, hey, while you're in this mode, like, here's the stuff that happens. Like, just give me the option to make that go away. I just don't want to see it.
No preview.
Yeah, like, I'm in weekend mode. I don't want to know that while I was here, a bunch of work stuff was piling up. It's like, the whole point is like, no, it's weekend mode. Like, I'm just hanging out and having a good time. Yep. And I don't even want to be tempted by, like, oh, what was that message about that thing? No, don't want to see it.
Yeah, like, I'm in my podcast recording focus right now. And I've got, like, while you're in recording focus, here's some tasks from Todoist. Here's some HomeKit notifications. Here's a notification from the Formula One app. Like, I just don't want them. Like, I just don't want that to be there.
Yes.
And it only sits in the notification center portion, I know, but habits, they're hard to break.
I'm with you totally. I don't want Mike distracted while he's recording a podcast and being like, oh, what happened in Formula One? Like, it just pulls your mind in a way that is contrary to the literal word focus, right? Like, it's a focus mode. You shouldn't have a place in the back of your brain it knows, if I just, like, quickly tap my screen, I can just see if, like, anything did happen. It's like, no, take that option away, because this is the focus mode to focus on what you're doing.
I feel like I know the answer to this question, but I should turn off notifications on my Mac for email too, right?
I mean, I would suggest so. I have a quality of life improvement for me, which is I made a decision that my computer is also never the tool for a notification. I don't ever want to get a notification on my computer.
Well, I mean, Apple made that easy for you because Notification Center on the Mac is abysmally bad.
Oh, it's terrible.
It's unbelievable how bad it is. I've never seen a piece of the operating system that has been made so much worse over time, which is weird.
Look, the only notification center that's worse than the one on the Mac is the one on the Vision Pro. But again, I'm fine with that because I don't want notifications on either of those.
I think the Vision Pro one is better. Like, I genuinely think it is better because when you go into notification center on the Vision Pro, you can at least see all of your notifications. Right? On the Mac, they show you three. You know, it's like, oh, you want to see more? Click this thing too. Like, that's worse. I actually think the Mac is worse. It doesn't make any sense. You have so much space on this screen. Why do I only see three? Very strange.
Yeah. What I've decided is, again, I was thinking about this with notifications a bunch, is how do I, like, simplify? How do I try to get what I want to have happen? And I have decided that outside of some very special cases, my phone is my notification device. This is how I am thinking about notifications. This is where all notifications come. And so on my computer and on my watch, I've basically shut down almost everything else unless it makes extremely specific sense for that device. So, for example, like Final Cut on my Mac and Logic on my Mac can send notifications because those are useful. And they are specific to the Mac, but that's it. Like, otherwise, they just don't get notifications. And, like, my watch has some fitness notifications that just literally can't appear anywhere else. So it's like, okay, watch, you can do that. But all notifications should be phone notifications. And I think this works much better than you might think, because with the wireless charging stuff and the always on screen, it's like, look, wherever I am, my phone is always just docked somewhere within view. So that's why, like, the phone is the notification device, is what I have decided. And, like, everything else, iPads, Mac, watch, Vision Pro, all of it, like, no notifications here, phone first. That's what I'm doing.
This episode of Cortex is brought to you by Notion. There's so much to love about Notion. For me, it's having all of my information in one place of amazing structure, the fact that I can link everything together super easily so none of my notes get lost, that really I can have my entire team at Cortex Brand checking out everything we're able to share, we're able to collaborate. It's incredible. Notion is a place where any team can write, plan, organize, and rediscover the joy of play. It's a workspace designed not just for making progress, but getting inspired. It's an AI-powered workspace where things just take care of themselves. Meetings have summaries, docs find themselves, and every question has an answer. Notion AI turns knowledge into action, from summarizing meeting notes and automatically generating action items to getting answers to any question in seconds. If you can think it, you can make it. We take so much use out of the Notion AI stuff just to make sure that all the notes that we're taking in meetings have those action items. This is incredibly important. It makes sure nothing's getting missed and you can feel confident that the work's getting done. And Notion is for everyone. Whether you're a Fortune 500 company or a freelance designer, starting a new startup, or a student juggling classes and clubs. Try Notion for free when you go to notion.com/cortex. That is all lowercase, notion.com/cortex, and start turning ideas into action. And when you use our link, you're supporting our show. That's at notion.com/cortex. Our thanks to Notion for their support of this show and Relay FM.
So I believe you also wanted to talk about your calendar.
Yeah, I mean, this is where there's not actually an app problem.
A life problem? Is that what you're going to say?
It's like a father time kind of problem, you know?
The problem is that life is short and calendars represent that. Okay.
Because really it's actually a meetings problem more than it's a calendar problem.
Mm.
So I feel like over the years I have done two things. One is I have reduced the amount of meetings that I need in my work. And then I've also just filled up my time with the work that I do, which seems like a pretty normal thing to do, right? Like the work will occupy the space that it has available to it and a lot of the time more than that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not like I don't have any quote-unquote meetings. Like my podcasts are essentially that, right? Like they are chunks of time on the calendar to talk to other people, which are like functionally meetings.
Disgusting. I hate
but
that.
You know
framing.
What I'm saying? Like,
no.
They are scheduled. They are frequent, right? Like, they are recurring. Like, you know, I have a Monday afternoon meeting with Jason, but we just so happen to record Upgrade during it.
Boo. I hate it. Thumbs down. Hate it. Reframe. Mike, that is the creative core of your work. Sure. Those aren't meetings. Disgusting.
Yes. Okay. Well, we can move past that because we're getting lost now.
You are forging podcasts is what you're doing, right? You meetings. No.
But what I am realizing now is that to get done all of the things that I want to do, I am having to increase the amount of meetings that I need to do. So this is now every Monday. We've always had this. Me and Steven always had a meeting every Monday for Relay, but it's become more serious. Like we brought Kerry into the meeting when she became chief advertising officer, and it is more of a structured meeting with an agenda. Like it happens every Monday. It's more formalized than it had been before. So that's one that's always been there, but it's become something which does take more focus than it did previously.
Mm-hmm.
Also on Mondays, I have a meeting with my assistant as part of Project Air Traffic Control.
Right.
And this is the idea of like, let's talk about what I've got going on this week. How am I going to do it? Where can you help me? What do you need from me? Like it is the way in which we set out the week. And it's been fantastic. Like some of the things that we've put in place are brilliant. And I feel so much more on top of my work because of this meeting. But it's another meeting, right? And now, as part of different things we're doing at Cortex Brand, I need to have more meetings with more people. And so these are meetings for social stuff to make sure we're doing that properly. We have meetings for brand stuff with a brand team that we're working with. Like there's so much more, as well as manufacturers, accountants, business advisors, like more and more stuff. I should have seen this coming when I set the year of people as my yearly theme. I should have seen this coming.
Who could have possibly seen it coming?
It's obvious now, but I don't feel like it was necessarily obvious before because I've worked with and we continue to work with lots of different designers and creatives, stuff with Relay. But the majority of that stuff we're able to communicate over Slack and it's worked on and sent back. And like with our designer, David, that we work with, the majority of stuff that me and him talk about is done in Slack. Like, there is a level of autonomy that everybody can have and we don't need meetings. But some of the stuff that I'm doing now, it's requiring much bigger thinking, bigger planning, putting things out on calendars. And also a lot of the stuff, it's in my head. Mm-hmm. And no one can get that out unless they talk to me about it, right? Like,
yeah.
How do I think about this? What am I working on next? What are we considering? Like, all of this kind of stuff. And so it is requiring meetings. But then also, I do believe that some of these things, over time, they won't need meetings for anymore and people can just get on with them. But I do think that those meetings will only be replaced by different ones, right? So when we're done having meetings about social because we've got a good plan for our Instagram and like that's fine, then that will only be replaced by something else, I'm sure, right? Like when those meetings stop, because that's just kind of the mode that we're in. It is the essence of working with a team of people. Like, you need to communicate with them and meetings are the way that that is done.
Yeah.
I actually really enjoy the meetings because I care deeply about the work and I enjoy all of the stuff. The issue is that I filled up the time already. The time was full. And now we need to add more time in. And the thing about meetings are they are so time intensive in the sense of how much space a meeting takes up in your day. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's huge. Like, you're always at an hour, right? You just say it's an hour at least. And so the more meetings I'm having, the less time I have to handle my workload. I mean, and all-day events, I mean, geez. If I have an all-day meeting, genuinely at the moment, I'm paying for that for a week.
Yeah, I believe it. Yeah, no.
Was it last week that we met for our accountants?
That's what I was just thinking, is you and I had basically an all-day meeting.
Yeah.
And you might expect that I'm like anti-meeting, but I'm not, as long as you're being sensible about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had to have a meeting with accountants to go over some business stuff, and I often have the feeling of like, couldn't this just be some emails back and forth? And the answer is, in theory it could, but nonetheless, like, actually meeting up in person and talking things through in person, it is just fundamentally different and very helpful sometimes.
No, I think the meeting was needed. Like, that was just a thing that we've been trying to do for months. And I think it really took everybody getting in the room to understand what everybody wanted.
But that's exactly it. Like, in person, you can kind of come to understandings better and faster than you can indirectly. And then, yes, but it was still an all-day meeting because it's like, you and me, we scheduled a meeting after the meeting, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, we still kept talking. It's like, but boy, I was just exhausted after a full day of just like basically a meeting. It's very psychologically costly, even if it is also very valuable.
So, like, you know, we had that meeting and then there were tasks that I put off because of that I was still dealing with like this week. It feels like at the moment my calendar and my to-do list are like locked in this delicate balance. The disruption of one just causes chaos for the other.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, it's just making me realize that I am still doing too much, but maybe that is just a function of running two businesses. Like, maybe this is just what it is for now, at least. Like, I actually don't think that there is really that much I can do about this. I just need to get better about how I handle the time, I think. And that is actually part of the year of people anyway, right? Like, my hope is this is the short-term pain for the long-term gain. Like, we're bringing people in.
Yeah.
So the better people are doing the right things, because a lot of the stuff that everybody's helping with is stuff that I was doing that I'm not doing. And like, I'm realizing the benefit of that with my assistant, which is like, there is stuff that I wanted to do that she is handling for me now, which is great. So I guess it is just the case of, I need to take this moment to be cognizant and remind myself of the fact that if I'm going to keep going down this route, which I believe is the right one, I need to continue to delegate.
Yeah, I think what I'm just kind of thinking of listening to you talk is like a similar sort of thing that I'm kind of going through on my end with some things. But I think it is important to separate in your mind two kinds of meetings, one of which is strategy meetings. It's like you're meeting and discussing like, what are we doing at Relay? or like your air traffic control meeting, which is just like still just a great name that I might steal. Like, what is it that we're trying to achieve over the next week, right? Like, that's one kind of meeting. And there's other kinds of meetings which are like about getting things done or are like the side effect of bringing on new people to help you. Mm-hmm. So the strategy meetings are irreplaceable. I think there's just fundamentally nothing that you can do to get rid of them. But it is good to keep in mind if you're doing a like future work or onboarding meeting of just like the purpose of this is so that in the future, this needs to happen less. That's what's really occurring with those meetings is like trying to set up a structure so that down the road, these meetings need to happen less. And it's just kind of good to like keep that in the front of your mind when you are doing that kind of like work or onboarding meeting. This is not a strategy meeting. This is a like, how do we get things done better meeting? And like the meeting isn't the work. In strategy meetings, that is the work because it is the strategy.
Yeah.
But other meetings are like, this isn't the actual work. This is the administrative overhead for the work. And that's the kind of thing that you just want to focus on reducing.
Yeah.
But if you're bringing on a bunch of people, like, guess what? Yeah, you're going to have a lot of that work, but you have to focus on keeping it temporary.
Yeah, because people have to understand what we're doing, where we're coming from. We've got to get on the same page.
Yeah.
And that is better when we actually sit and have conversations and can work through the stuff together. But yes, if you're bringing in the right people, they should be able to understand that and take that and run with it.
Yeah, exactly.
The meetings thing, really, it's just like I just wanted to talk about it because it's just like happening to me. But like this is the talk therapy part of today. The others were the actionable things. There is nothing I can do about this except to use this as a point to like flag in the ground. I need to be aware of it. That like if I don't try and control it, this will spiral out of control and I will just be in meetings all day, every day. Yeah. And I actually can't do that because that is not something that I have the time to do with how my work is scheduled right now. I imagine a scenario in 10 years time where that is my job. Like my job is I'm back-to-back meetings, 5 hours a day, 8 hours a day, all day. Like I imagine that scenario is a possibility for me in a decade from now.
Yeah, I can see that.
That doesn't bother me, right? That does not bother me, but it's I can't do that now because I'm still in the content mines, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm still, what do you say, forging notebooks from paper mills or whatever. Like I'm still doing all of that, so I can't be back-to-back in meetings all the time. Like even if that is what people may or may not want from me, like it's not something that my current workload and work balance will allow for.
Yeah. I have an asterisk on that, which is like, I agree with you that I can imagine a future where what you're doing is the meeting stuff. I don't think that's a probable future because I think you like the hands-on creation of things quite a lot and you're good at it.
I still imagine that as a meeting. Like I could still be a meeting.
No, well, I mean, that's something we just got to get straight in your brain.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yes, Mike. When I'm writing in the mornings, it's just like a meeting because it can be on my calendar.
You have a meeting with Obsidian.
It's just a meeting with myself. Yeah, it's me and Obsidian. We're having a meeting. It's like, yes, sure. That is technically correct in that it exists on a calendar, but totally unhelpful in terms of thinking about it.
Here's a scenario, right? Let's imagine 10 years time, Cortex brand has gone global, you know, like we're in all the stores, you know, like product design is going to be very different.
Yes, of course.
And it will be like there's a couple of people and we're working on a thing together. Like I'm not going to be sitting down and same as I do now. I don't like, if there's drawings to be done, I'm not doing them. Or if there's layout to be done, I'm not doing it. But like I can still help steer where it's going, you know? So like then again, it's like, it's not like a meeting, but it is a brainstorm session, right? Which is essentially just a meeting with a whiteboard.
Okay, sure, sure. I will concede in these scenarios, you are correct, but I feel like this is not now, Mike, right? This is not
No, it's
Mike.
Long way, if ever. What I'm saying is I just want to kind of get it out that like I don't have a problem with having more meetings, there just has to be imbalance.
Right.
But like if my work continues to take me in a scenario where I'm having more and more and more meetings, I'm fine with that in theory, as long as the rest of the balance is maintained and considered.
Yeah. And I really like that comment you made about how with the calendar and the to-do list that they're two things, and like exploding one like really explodes the other. I think that is a sharpening up of a thought about productivity that I just hadn't put into words, that I also feel like has been a real description of my life for the past few months. I'm like, oh yeah, I've kind of had like huge calendar disruptions, and it's like, yes, that has massive impacts on the to-do list. Like, it's just, it's good to think about it in that way. Like, I like that framing quite a lot. But yes, you are making podcasts, Mike. You are not having meetings. I just can't. I can't even hear you say that.
It's been a good meeting so far.
God, no. Don't you dare.
I've got a lot taken care of today. I've got some action, but I have action items, which is not a usual thing that I have at the end of a podcast. I have a list of eight action items so far. That's something I want to get better at too. Like, sometimes I leave meetings and I'm like, I don't know what happens now.
Every meeting that matters, you have to have action items. Like, if you don't have that, what even happened? Like, yeah. A bunch of people got together and talked about their feelings for a while, like some kind of therapy session. No. And even therapy sessions, you should, like, right now come out of them with a bunch of like clear action items. Like, this is what you're gonna do. If there's no action items, what even happened? Yeah. Just a bunch of words on the wind. That's what happened.
So I'm trying to get better at that. Like, when the meeting ends, we all agree on what needs to happen and everyone goes away. Because I really don't like the feeling when I leave a meeting and I'm like, that was so much, I don't even know what happens now.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had that more and more in Cortex Brand than anything else that I've done, because we are constantly encountering things we've not dealt with before.
Yeah.
Which I don't remember having a time like this in a really, really long time. Like, but it's probably been like 10 years since I've had these kinds of feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And so I need to make sure that, like, I'm really noting that stuff down well and it's getting moved to the right places and being handled. Like, that's something I'm trying to get better at for sure. And it's something that I'm going to have to really, really be diligent about. If the meetings will continue, action items must improve. This episode of Cortex is brought to you by Fitbod. When you're looking to change your fitness level, it can be hard to know where to get started. That's why I'm pleased to let you know that Fitbod is an easy and affordable way to build a fitness plan that's tailored for you. Everybody has their own fitness path, which is why Fitbod uses data to make sure they're customizing things to suit you perfectly, adapting as you improve so every workout remains challenging, pushing you to make the progress you're looking for. Superior results are achieved with fitness when a workout program is tailored to meet your unique body experience, environment, and goals. All of this is stored in your Fitbod gym profile in the app. Fitbod will track your muscle recovery so you're able to avoid burnout and keep up your momentum, and it builds your best possible workout by combining AI with exercise science. Fitbod have analyzed billions of data points that have been fine-tuned by certified personal trainers, and you can be sure you're learning new movements the right way thanks to more than 1,000 demonstration videos. These videos are shot from multiple angles. It makes it super simple for you to learn every exercise and feel confident that you're doing them correctly. This is something I value so immensely with Fitbod. I feel confident when I'm learning something new because they've done the work for me to show me exactly how to do it. Your muscles improve when they work together. So overworking some muscles while underworking others will negatively impact results, which is why Fitbod tracks your muscle fatigue and recovery to design a well-balanced workout routine. This also means you'll never get bored as the app mixes up your workouts with new exercises, rep schemes, supersets, and circuits. The Fitbod app is easy to use. You can stay informed with Fitbod's progress tracking charts, weekly reports, and sharing cards, which let you keep track of your achievements and personal bests and share them with friends and family, and it integrates with your Apple Watch, Wear OS smartwatch, and apps like Strava, Fitbit, and Apple Health. Personalized training of this quality can be expensive. Fitbod is just $12.99 a month or $79.99 a year, but you can get 25% off your membership by signing up today at fitbod.me/cortex. So go now and get your customized fitness plan at fitbod.me/cortex. That is fitbod.me/cortex for 25% off your membership. Our thanks to Fitbod for their support of this show and Relay FM. All right, considering that you're in therapist mode today.
Yeah.
Should we try and give some help to the Cortexans and do some Ask Cortex questions?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Let's do Ask Cortex.
All right. You can always send in your questions, whether you have questions for us or you'd like some advice on something, by going to askcortex.com and you can send them in. Potter Spook asks, since coming to college, I've been paying more attention to to-do lists and utilizing them, and I have been having trouble with deciding which are the good tasks to put on the to-do list and which tasks are just stupid. How do you decide which tasks are good enough? Now, I'll start by saying there are no stupid tasks. No, I believe this. If you think that something needs to be remembered, you should write it down.
Mm-hmm.
And then over time, you can learn if you needed to remember that or not. But like some of the stuff that I put as a task is madness, but it makes me feel better to have done it.
Do you have an example of that?
Today, I was on my way and I was like, I got to remember to have a coffee before we start recording. Now that is not a problem for me. I know this, but I opened you, I'd said coffee in 1 hour. So in an hour, I'd already bought the coffee, but the reminder went off and I didn't have to think about it anymore because I'd already done it and I was happy about it. But I would have really regretted it if I wouldn't have done it. And right, so it just goes into due, is simple. And like, so for, I would say, like for me, just as a general thought, if you have tasks that you think are important, they go in your to-do app. If you have tasks that you think are quote unquote stupid, they can go in a different app. So they're not clogging things up, but you're at least written them down and you're going to get a reminder, whether it's something like due or reminders or even an Apple note or whatever. So you can feel better about the fact that you did write it down somewhere. Like, I do think that that is important. It's important for the practice of understanding that if you have a task, it gets written down. So you get into the habit of writing stuff down, because if you don't, you will have important things that will slip through the cracks. That's how I feel anyway.
Yeah, I think I was zeroing in too much on like the tasks part of it. And also, you say like there's no stupid tasks, which it's like I get it in the way that you were framing it. I think I was hearing it in a bit like, are there stupid things to do? Which the answer to which is like, well, yeah, obviously. Like there's real dumb things that you can
do. Yeah, but your to-do app's not going to it's not going to help that, you know?
Yeah, I think you're pushing more of an answer to this question, which I think I would summarize as it is not possible to over capture ideas. That like the vast majority of people are under capturing ideas, like the things that pop into their head, like a huge number of which are tasks, like I should do this or I should do that. If there's something that has popped into your head, it cannot be so small as to not be worth writing down and like considering later. I think like thoughts that come into your head by default should be captured. And with to-do lists, I really am now pushing the like, I think it is so good to get into the habit of talking to Siri or whatever your assistant is and just saying like, remind me later to whatever, just as a starting point. I actually did this just on our pre-chat today. Like there was something earlier and that kind of stuff has just gotten real good. And like you said, can also be, even if you don't use the reminders app or whatever the default is on your phone, that can be the place where just a bunch of random stuff lives that you know that while you're talking to someone, you can just quickly like tell your phone like, hey, remind me to whatever in X days or, you know, tomorrow or in an hour. Like, oh, there's a thing I can't do now. Just like remind me in an hour to do this thing. Once you start doing that, it is shocking how often you will notice if you say like, oh, like remind me in an hour to do whatever. That when that hour comes up later, you have already completely forgotten the thing and are like, oh, right, I need to do that. So, yeah, like you cannot possibly over capture this.
Man, you saying about talking to Siri about this stuff, like we're on the verge of such potential later on this year.
Yeah, yeah. I think this is only going to get better for sure.
This stuff could get incredibly good. Like the ability to be able to talk to the assistant on your phone and like with tasks and it understanding your calendar and it knowing that it, like there is a potential here that I am actually pretty excited about, and I just hope that they're able to realize something even partly good. Like as you say, like for adding tasks and reminders and timers and all that kind of stuff, it's good right now that they've, it's gotten better over time, but like there is a potential huge leap that they could make if they can work out some kind of LLM based Siri that's actually good.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I can see even little inklings of this as like a slight sidebar of the thing that I ultimately decided on as the action button on my phone is talk to ChatGPT is what I use the action button for.
Oh, that's interesting. Mine, by the way, is adding tasks.
Yeah, yeah, I think that makes sense.
And it's fantastic. So I hit it. It says, like, what's your task? I write down the task, and I say, like, okay. It's like, what time? And I type in a time, and it's like, where do you want this to go? And if it goes to Todoist or it goes to Due. If it goes to Due, it's done. If I press Todoist, it says, what project do you want to put this in? And I do that. So it's like, for me, like, adding tasks, it starts with one action, which is pressing the action button.
Yeah.
And then there's a flow that I go through, which is very quick. And I really like it because sometimes it means I can add the task while I'm still looking at the thing that's on my phone because it's just popping up over the top, you know?
Okay. I do have one exception that just popped into my head as, like, what kind of tasks are just, like, just stupid to add. And I think there is an exception here, which is, if you're in, like, a real work mode, you're in an optimal scenario. So, like, you're on your computer and you're doing work. I feel like sometimes I'm in a real, like, administration mode. You're just, like, doing a bunch of things. In that mode, if something pops up in my head as, like, oh, this is a thing that I should do, I won't write it down if it's something that I can just do quickly right now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to add a task if you can do the thing. Like, just do the thing. Yeah.
Yes, that is the exception. If you can do the thing the moment that you have thought of it, and it is not interrupting some kind of other workflow, then you should just do it. That's when it's a bad idea to write it down. Mm. I think that use case, in a sense, is quite narrow, because you also just want to be sure that you're not derailing yourself, right? In, like, what are you actually trying to accomplish? That's why I think of it as, like, if I'm in admin mode, that's when I'll write down the smallest number of tasks, because I'm just, like, I can do more things in that moment. But yeah, so it's like, if the administrative overhead of tracking the thing is not worth just clearing it immediately, then don't do it. But yeah, there's no task too small, which actually goes to the next Ask Cortex question that we have, which is from Riley, who asks, you answered a question about how long each of you go without looking at your phone after waking up. They want to ask, how long do you go without looking at your to-do list for the day? And I like this question because my previous answer for how long do you go before you look at your phone was, like, zero. Like I wake up and I basically look at the phone immediately for something. And it's like, oh, what is almost certainly one of the very first things that I am looking at? It is my to-do list. Like, the to-do list is almost certainly one of the first things that I'm looking at. And when asking about, like, oh, is a task too small to have on your to-do list? No, because I have what I call my whole boot up routine in the morning of, like, hey, welcome to consciousness, Gray. Here's the order in which you need to do things to boot up into being a human who's, like, ready to go and get to work. And that checklist, that list of to-do items is so dumb, right? It is, like, brush teeth level dumb, but I love it. And it really just, like, makes the morning totally brain dead easy for, like, no, this is the order in which I know I need to do things.
Are you getting, like, a dopamine hit from this? Is that one of the reasons that you like it? Like, you just enjoy checking the checklist stuff? Like, look how productive I am?
So there's two things that are happening here. One thing is, it is totally a, like, get into the swing of things, right? This is what you should be doing. You should be getting up and, like, starting to work through your list, because the, like, first half of the day is the vitally important work half of the day. So, like, just make this go nice and easy. So I do think there is something that's, like, training your brain to be like, look at the thing that you have decided it should be guiding your day, and here's 20 easy wins to start the day off as, like, good momentum for sure. But the other part of this, which I didn't appreciate when I first started it, is order really matters. And I think when I used to wake up, it's like I sort of had in my head all of the things that I need to do. But Mike, in Magic the Gathering, there's a thing called sequencing, right? Which is the order in which you're going to play your cards.
That's what they tell
me. Very important. And new players underrate the value of sequencing. You can do all of the same things on a move, but if you don't sequence them correctly, it's the difference between winning and losing. And so I have slowly sequenced the morning to just be better for me of like, yes, here's 10 things that need to happen before I like stumble on my way to the gym or whatever I'm doing that morning. But this order of like, no, I want to do this before this. I want to do that before this as just like the dumbest sort of thing. Every morning, it's like, okay, I need to get dressed for the day, but I also want to weigh myself. The number of times in the past where it's like, oh, I'm just kind of stumbling around in the morning, and it's like, and I get dressed, and it's like, oh, I would also want to weigh myself. The chance that I'm going to just like take off the clothes I have just put on to weigh myself is zero. So it's like, no, no. Weigh myself is like the very first thing in the morning, because it's also the thing that like I've learned. If I don't do that one first, it's like it wildly drops the probability that it's going to occur later.
Right.
So that's what's occurring as well. It's like, just pay attention. I actually want to do these things. And like, this is the order to do them. So the answer to when do I look at my to-do list is like, first thing with like my barely open eye is like, what do I need to do? Step one, get out of bed. What about you, Mike?
I mean, I don't know anymore. Because it was look at my email, so...
Oh, yeah, you're in a new
that's
world.
That's the first thing I was doing, so who knows? Maybe to-do will be first, but I don't think so. Because, like, my tasks are pretty set.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know how soon it would be before I look at my to-do list. It's probably most days, it's not until I get to the office. Because I am pretty good about, like as I said before, every task gets a time. For me, a day at a time, it's going to remind me. So if I need to do something before I get to the studio, my phone will let me know.
Mm-hmm.
Like on Mondays, I buy groceries for lunches during the week. Well, I have that set to remind me at a time, which is good on a Monday, that reminds me to go buy those groceries. Like I don't need to have looked at my to-do list for that to occur to me. So it's not super soon. Maybe it will become that way. I have no idea what I will do tomorrow morning when I wake up. I have no idea what's going to happen.
You're a free man, Mike.
What would be fun is like whatever app I put in my dock, that's the one that will get opened.
All right. Well, you need to really think about what that's going to be then.
Yeah, I have no idea. I think I'm going to have to be three apps in the dock for a little bit because I don't know what could get promoted to dock-worthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, another action item for you.
Matthew writes in to say, considering your love of heated seats and air conditioning, do you have a heat pad on your office chair? This is a great question because we all found out that you love and you think the best way, and I have from so many people, my God, this was so frustrating to me. So many people in my life were just telling me, oh man, I love to put on the air conditioning and turn on the heated seat. I was getting this left, right, and center.
Great. You deserved it.
No, I don't deserve it. You know what? I don't deserve it.
Heated seats and air conditioning team unite. Finally, is people on my side with an air conditioning topic.
Well, I actually do have another one that I didn't put into the show notes, but I will read to you now because it doesn't require much action, but you might want to hear this. This comes from Lauren, who says, I would never have thought to do the thermostat hacking. Mm-hmm. When we arrived at our Hawaii resort hotel and the thermostat only went down to 68 degrees Fahrenheit and did not actually even come close to that actual temperature, I immediately jumped on YouTube and found a video showing how to unlock our exact thermostat, and it made our trip so much more comfortable. Thank you, Gray.
Ah, oh, you're welcome. Look at me improving lives.
I'm still not sure about the legality of these things or the safety of these things, but nevertheless, you have air conditioning in your office.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a heated seat that you're sitting on?
So I just have to say to Matthew, thank you.
Oh, no.
I don't know how this never occurred to me before, but I am going to do this.
You could get one of those massage things.
What do you mean by the massage? What are you thinking of? What's in your head for this?
There are a lot of these like seat pads that are like massage things that also have heat options. So you could get like one of these like massage chair additions that you can put onto like any office chair, which you could just use for heating, but every now and then, maybe also a massage, you know?
Oh, that sounds very fancy. Yeah, I don't know how this thought never entered my head. It just like, it just never occurred to me, but yeah, I'm going to think this through. Yeah, this is 100% in my future. Heated chair, frozen office.
Cortexans. We're very excited to introduce you to a three-part membership event.
Very excited.
I have never seen the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Unbelievable to me.
Never seen them. That is changing. If you are a Cortex member, if you sign up at getmoretext.com, not only do you get access to ad-free, longer versions of each and every episode of Cortex, including an ad-free back catalog, you also get access to the Mortex Special Episodes feed. This feed includes all of the specials that we've done in the past, all of the text adventures and the RPGs, and now the first episode where we have watched Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring. We've watched it together, me for the first time, Gray for the manyth time, and we talk about it. So we're going to be doing three episodes, one for each movie, and they're going to be available just to More Texans.
So pumped for this. We've recorded the first one. I could just never hold it in my mind that Mike had not seen these movies because it's such an unbelievable fact to me. Mm-hmm. It's like, what member of civilization has not seen these movies? It was Mike. Mm-hmm. And we talked about this a bunch. And in our conversations, I eventually realized, like, I have not seen these movies in a long time. Like, it has been a long time since I sat down and, like, properly watched them through. And so, yeah, we're like, you know what we're doing for Cortex? This is what we're doing. So we have recorded Fellowship of the Ring. You can go listen to it right now. And we are recording the other two episodes. And it's like, ah, I'm so excited.
I won't say what I thought of the movie. That will be only for More Texans. But the episode was a ton of fun to do.
Yeah.
And I think that people are really going to enjoy it. So you can get this right now by going to getmoretex.com. And of course, there'll be a link in the show notes.
Getmoretex.com.